Let's stand for the reading of God's word. You're going to have the words up on the screen, and I'd like for you to look at these with us together. Would you read them with me? That evening, many demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. He cast out the evil spirits with a simple command, and he healed all the sick. This fulfilled the word of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, who said, "He took our sicknesses and our diseases." Praise the Lord. Amen? You may be seated. So I'm going to look at this passage with you here in just a second. And I want to pull this up because I think it's a very worthy passage to look at more carefully and bless you with the truth of this word. Jesus gives us the power to pray for the sick and believe that God will heal them and deliver them. Amen? So hear the word of the Lord with me tonight. As believers, we need to grasp and hold on to the truths that God teaches us about healing. The word of the Lord is truth. I said, the word of the Lord is truth. Amen? And we must accept it, and we must exactly do what he tells us to do. God cannot lie because he is absolute truth. Numbers 23, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and he will not do, or has he spoken and he will not make it good? God has always a plan for us. And as spirit-filled believers, we possess words of life in our tongues. So we can declare, we can decree, we can confess the living word of God with the Holy Spirit boldness and authority. Jesus said, it is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits what? Nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Are you listening? How many here need a miracle from God tonight? How many want a miracle from God tonight? Because that's the question that was asked of the man at the pool. You remember? Do you want to be well? Now, what a poignant question to ask a guy who's been seated there for 30 plus years. Do you want to be well? Well, you know, I'm here. That's why I'm here. No, do you want to be well? Because he had all kinds of reasons for not being there. He talked about the fact that, when the waters were stirred and he could never get there in time, somebody always beat him to the water. No one was there to help him. You see, faith is the doorway to our healing breakthrough because faith without works is dead. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith It will absolutely dismantle the fear of the supernatural healing power of the Lord. When we are dealing with issues of health, it's easy to become fearful. It's easy to be afraid of the diagnosis. It's easy for us to capitulate and just collapse and cave in and listen to what they're saying to us. And when you're in that moment, and the doctor's telling you things about your health, and he's telling that this is serious stuff, and this could take your life if you don't get something taken care of here, then, of course, fear immediately, the emotion tries to grip you. Faith dismantles the fear in the supernatural healing power of God. It allows you to realize that you can neutralize fear. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, and we must believe that the word of God says about healing. What does God say about healing? And he tells us we possess life, we possess strength in all that we say. So as spirit-filled believers, we possess words of life in our tongues. We declare, we decree, we confess the living word of God with the Holy Spirit boldness and authority. So it is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. So Jesus' life-giving words contain his breath of life that brings total healing and wholeness. That's how we're restored. We have to confess with our mouths what we want to happen in our circumstance. Faith has ears, and we must give the Word of God a voice. You ought to text that to somebody. Faith has ears, and we have to give the Word of God a voice. Fuel your faith with healing confession and commands that bring the results of supernatural belief and expectation. When we come to the Lord, we should have fueled our hearts and our lives with a sense of expectation. When people came for healing to Jesus, you remember how they came with expectation? The blind man was yelling to get his attention because he knew, if this guy turns and looks at me, I'm going to get well. The lepers pursued Jesus, even though it was against the law to get anywhere near another human being. But they went after him because they had expectation. They knew if Jesus commanded it, the centurion, my goodness, the centurion, the Roman, here's a guy who doesn't know the God of Israel who comes to Jesus and said, I've got a servant who's about to die. And he says, I'm a man under authority, and I know you are too. And if you just speak the word, just like if I give a command, they do it. If you just say the word, I know he's going to be well. Jesus looks at this guy and goes, I've not found faith like this in all of Israel. No one's ever come to me with that kind of confession. That's amazing. So the breath of life is in the words of Jesus. And we have to come with expectation. So it goes on to say, Jesus does, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So one of the things you should do when you're seeking healing, fill your days and evenings with healing scripture. Play it everywhere you are, in your vehicle, in your home, in your bedroom at night. Well, I'm sleeping, that's fine. Play it softly, and it goes right into your subconsciousness. In confession, words from the heart of God that heal, inspire, motivate, strengthen, empower, revive, transform you. The Word of God has a powerful effect. It's quick, it's powerful, it's alive, it's the living Word of truth. When it impacts your spirit, it begins to bring life to you. Unfortunately, there are believers walking around today wearing spiritual blinders, and they don't know anything about their spiritual authority in Jesus. We have to know without the shadow of a doubt that we're called to walk in wholeness. We're called to walk before God in purity. And as believers, we arm ourselves with God's word so we can combat and disarm all the demonic curses and sicknesses and diseases, all the stuff that brings us discomfort physically and mentally and psychologically and emotionally. God wants us whole, healthy, well, in all those areas of our lives. And if we're walking around with all this armor on, but we don't carry the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, man, we're not going to win any battles without the Word of God. It's with the Word of God that we do battle and defeat the adversary. We are really unarmed, and we are a target when we're not armed. Isaiah 54 says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you, God, shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. So speak life. Speak the truth of God's word. As believers, we're not to sit on the sidelines of life and just sit back and allow sickness and infirmity and curses and poverty to take control and dictate to us. When you look at the passage I just read, the weapon is formed but will not succeed. The weapon is formed but will not succeed. And daily the enemy has an arsenal of weaponry with our names written all over them. He's directed his weapons toward you. It's imperative to know, you have to be alert to this, we are on the devil's hit list. He's got a hit out on all of us. And it's the enemy's design and desire for God's people to walk in ignorance So the enemy can take full advantage of all the opportunities that are handed to him. And as believers, we have the advantage. We have the supernatural edge and the strategy because of the truth of God's word to combat and counteract any hit the devil tries to launch in our direction. Heaven is declaring that God intends for you to possess, and what it is you are to possess, and what it is you are to inherit by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says there is death and life in the power of the tongue. So we can bring life by the very words we speak. We can bring death in like manner. God's given us powerful instruments in our mouths called the tongue. We have the ability to speak life through the power of God's word spoken from our mouths. We are to speak and declare what God says and obtain what God has promised through his word in acts of obedience because we believe and know his word is true. Obedience and believing in God's word, that's key to accessing what God wants us to have. We have spiritual authority in Jesus' name to believe for healing by the confession of the word of the Lord. It's called kingdom authority. We've been preaching about the kingdom. This is called kingdom authority. One of the aspects that stands out in regards to Jesus' authority, by the way, he said, all power is given to me in heaven and on earth. In other words, all the power of the universe is at my fingertips. And that stands out in regards to Jesus' authority in his earthly ministry as he commanded things to happen concerning healing and deliverance from demonic oppression. What things in life are you allowing to exist and you're not challenging those things to get out of your life and out of your home and out of your body and out of your circumstance? What sickness, disease, illness, pain has taken up residence in your home, in your body, in your temple? Jesus commanded his disciples, I want you to go out and heal the sick and drive out devilish spirits and cure diseases and preach the kingdom of God. Because my kingdom authority is with you and my authority in your life has power over all the power of the wicked one. When he called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Do you believe that when you read that? And when he called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. There wasn't any category they did not have authority over because it was handed to them by kingdom authority himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And you remember one of the 12 wasn't a very nice guy. So, you know, they weren't like these perfect people. These are the only people that God could ever use because they were so selected and perfect and spot on in all their ways. How many times Peter got his foot in his mouth and sometimes his whole ankle went all the way in. And Judas, oh my goodness, Judas, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all sicknesses. Then he called his 12 disciples together in Luke 9 and he gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. Now, later on, he qualifies some of the power utilized in dealing with demonic spirits because they struggled with one and a boy and couldn't cast him out. And Jesus qualified, you need to fast and pray so the power that I'm giving you has the authority that I promised you over all demons. You have power over devils and to cure diseases. That's an amazing statement when you think about this. And so many places today have dismissed this, diluted this, won't preach this, won't talk about this, ignore this. And somebody gets sick in the body of Christ, well, we're going to pray for you, but do they really pray in faith? Do they know what this book says? Do they know what these passages mean? Jesus' prayer life fueled his spiritual authority. And he never doubted, never second-guessed, and never assumed. The result, healing and miracles manifested everywhere he went. That's why crowds were thronging him. Faith in God's word, believing what he says, speaking God's truth brings healing results in our lives. Now, as a part of his kingdom, we need to walk with that authority and power and the grace of Jesus' name because we are followers of him. We are on the same mission the early disciples were on, and that's to take the good news everywhere we go. We need to know our position and our biblical rights in the kingdom so we can fight against evil and the unrighteousness and sickness that we come against in this culture. The commander-in-chief, Jesus Christ, has delegated commands to overcome the plans of our adversary. Jesus delegated his authority to his followers. He said, I'm going to be with my Father. I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. He's going to give you everything you need to overcome the wicked one. He commanded his disciples to heal the sick because he knew people can be healed through the power of God's word. Jesus didn't instruct his disciples to just pray for the sick. He commanded them to heal the sick as well. So I believe that not only should we see healing happening around us in the body of Christ regularly, it's a component, it's a part of being a part of his kingdom. I believe we can speak words of health over ourselves as well. I got one amen. It's good. Most of you and I have practiced that. I said, we can speak words of healing over ourselves as well. I didn't know we could do that. Yeah, we can. We can do that. When we get the word of God locked into our spirit, and there's no doubt or question in our hearts. We can speak that word and believe God to bring health and healing. My wife and I have practiced that time and again for one another, and we practice it in our own lives when we're dealing with something that we need to overcome, because we know we have an adversary who's come to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus has come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And the word life is his life, Zoe life, the life of Jesus himself. It's the devil's desire to deny and to delay our breakthroughs by bringing fear and unbelief in the finished work of the cross. We were singing about his finished work, how he's overcome death, singing and worshiping about that Jesus, the Christ, has victory over all, but we overcome the adversary by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. There's power in the word of God, the blood of Jesus, and the word of our testimony. John 14, he said, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I'm going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Now, that's profound. Wow. Joel prophesied that we're living in the days of the greater works outpouring. He prophesied in the end of days there would be a greater works outpouring. We're going to see more and more of God's manifest power in the latter days than we've ever seen in the prior days. And that would be poured out on all flesh. I believe that includes healings and miracles in these last days, the likes of which we haven't seen, that'll make Azusa Street seem like the opening act. And this is going to be the finale. Amen? You can ask anything. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. And the word ask in that verse, 13 and again in 14, comes from the Greek word aetio, which means to call, crave, desire, require, Well, it gets very intense as you begin to slice up its definitions. It speaks of the petition of one who was in a lesser position than the person to whom the petition is made. So the lesser is going to the greater and saying, I am petitioning you, craving for, desiring, requiring, putting a demand on your power for this situation. It means as believers, we're to ask our Heavenly Father for specifics as His children. The Father has the power to heal us. We have the ability to ask Him to heal us. And in that passage I quoted to you, He tells us, whatever. And then He uses the other word, anything. The word ask also, the last part of the definition in the word ask in that passage, is to command. That's really powerful. So I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works because I'm going to be with the Father. You can ask, you can petition, you can crave, call for, require, you can command for anything in my name, and I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask, require, command for anything in my name, and I will do it. The one who sent us, Jesus the Christ, has given us as Spirit-filled believers full access to the power of God's Word. The Word of God is for us. It's just not floating out here for fun. Jesus is the one who authorized us to speak with authority, and then to watch miracles begin to happen because of His Word. Not because of us, but because of His Word. We can command healing to happen in Jesus' name. It will be done, so it brings glory to the Lord. How many know that God gets glory when there's a miracle? How many know that God is honored? It's being done to bring glory to the Father. So, watch this. So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. I alluded to this morning in the message. They have ripped some of the tiles off the roof of this home, and they've cut a hole in it, and then they have dropped this man down on this stretcher. And he's kind of on this little gurney without wheels and on ropes, and they drop him down. And they lay him down under the floor, and this man is totally paralyzed. And everybody's kind of astounded at what just happened, because the roof is coming in, and here comes this guy descending. God, I love to watch this stuff. I mean, I see this happening in my head. It's like, this is like, whoa, look at this. And they're pulling tiles off the roof. Can you imagine the commotion? They probably didn't hear much in the house, because Jesus was teaching, and there was interaction, and people responding, and all of a sudden, boom, here comes a hole in the roof. Here comes this guy, and they're going, what are these people thinking, right? And down he comes to the floor, and there's this amazing moment where Jesus is discerning their thoughts and their attitudes and their actions. And then to respond to their cynicism that he does not have the power to forgive sin, let alone the power to heal someone who can never walk, who's immobile totally. So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. Boom. Can you imagine? What would you do? You ought to be jumping. You'd be doing handstands if I'm watching this. And the man jumped up and went home. And fear swept through the crowd as they saw this happen. And they praised God for giving humans such authority. Wow, humans. Often we struggle with lack of faith to believe God can do miracles like that today. Well, all you need to do is travel abroad and watch the simple faith of people who are not distracted and diluted by all the junk that we have to deal with in this culture. And all the cynicism and all the questions. Here you have desperate people who live basically at the poverty level. They're hungry physically. They're hungry spiritually. And when someone is handing them life, man, they grab hold of it with expectation. And there are miracles the likes of which we haven't seen since the book of Acts happening all over the world. We've got to come to believe, no matter what situation or condition we find ourselves in, through the power of God's word, through the power of the Holy Spirit's authority, we can pray for those who are sick or needing miracles and expect to see results. Although situations may seem impossible, the impossible is possible with God. Always with God. Because he loves to punch a hole in all the things that seem to be the norms and say, logically, this can't happen, right? This is impossible. All the laws and all science tells us you can't get better, you can't get well, you can't recover. And God says, I made all those laws. They're subject to me. I can suspend them anytime I choose, and I choose to, and all of a sudden, a guy who cannot move anything in his body gets up off that mat, rolls that sucker up, because that's basically what you did. You have a mat, and that's how you kind of got around. He rolls it up, throws it over his shoulder, and walks out of the building, and people are standing there. What did we just watch? Right? What did we just watch? Speak to your mountain. I tell you the truth, you can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. So here Jesus tells us we can speak to mountains in our lives and command them to move if we believe. As Spirit-filled believers, we can speak directly to the mountain of sickness, mountain of disease, and command it to leave by faith, knowing we have authority in Christ. We have the power of his name, and we can command these things to happen through the power of his word. What specific illness, sickness, pain is refusing to cave in to the commands of God's word in your life? We need to speak in faith to every specific mountainous situation and order it to leave in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Do you believe that? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let me close by giving you a couple of quick illustrations to explain Jesus commanding healing to take place. I alluded to the sick man at the pool of Bethesda who was paralyzed. Watch and listen to how Jesus handled that after he challenges him about his intentions to be well. You really want to get well? You can go so many ways with that passage, and that question. Goodness. Sometimes there are people, they get lots of attention if they stay in a constant state of, oh, woe is me. And all day, every day, no matter where and when you meet them, there's another story about some other catastrophic. But it's a good way for them to constantly talk about all the troubles they have in life. And so this could have very well been the issue with this guy. I mean, he's sitting there and he's complaining about all the conditions he has to face and deal with every single day with no help. And Jesus is looking at him. He's I want to see some intensity in you. Do you want to be well? Or are you just here every day because it's the thing to do and it's the attention you're getting or lack of it and it gives you something to complain about? Do you want to be well? Do you want to be restored? Do you want to be able to get mobile again? So when the man finally reaches a point where he connects with Jesus by faith, what does Jesus say to him? Rise, take up your bed and walk. At the command of his word, this guy is totally healed. In Matthew 12, Jesus commands the man with the withered hand. I don't know if you remember this circumstance in the scripture. And it was kind of a blight on a person under the Jewish law to have some deformity of some sort. A lot of times people would look at you as if, well, God must have cursed you. You must have done something, or your family did something wrong for you to be all crumpled up and crippled up like this. And what does Jesus say to him? Stretch out your hand. Stretch it out at the command of Jesus. It totally unravels and unfolds, and it's perfect in use again. Instantaneously, completely restored in Acts 3. So you're carried now into the church in the ministry of the people serving the Lord. And they're going to worship again at the temple, because this is what they did. You've heard me speak about this now for 3 Sundays, how in the scripture, the early church, they did several different things. They listened intently to the teaching of their spiritual leadership. Intently is the word. In other words, they paid attention. They wanted to hear what the word of God said, and they grabbed hold of it. Then they would go to their homes and their neighborhoods and marketplaces of life, and they would share that and speak that with their neighbors and their friends and invite them to come and hear the truth that had changed and transformed their lives. They had communion every day in their homes. They had fellowship and ate together in their homes. And then, of course, it says they would go to the temple on the weekends. And once again, on their way to worship. I wonder if there's a connection between us receiving what God has for us and we being on our way to worship. Peter and John are on their way to worship. And there was this guy sitting at the gate, beautiful. Been there forever, every day. Only way he can eat, survive, is to ask somebody to help. If you have a little extra, could you share it? So in Acts 3 and 6, you have this great story. I hope you'll read it when you get a moment. Peter looks at this man who's saying, alms, something for the needy, and says, I don't have any silver or gold on me. I don't have that. But what I do have, I'm giving you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now, was it, I'd like for you, I hope you will. He commands him, rise up and walk. And then it says, Peter took the lame man by his right hand and lifted him up. Now, listen to it in the scripture. He took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately, say immediately, his feet and ankle bones received strength. And you know this set off an explosion at the temple. Because not only did you have disciples going to worship Jesus and love the Lord and honor the God of their fathers, the God, the Lord Jesus Christ as well. But this guy, who's been there forever, is now running and leaping and jumping and praising God as he goes up into the temple. And I mean, he's shaking the whole place up. People are watching this guy. That's the guy that's always there. He's begging for money because he can't, and he can't work. He can't do anything. What has happened here? And they can't believe this, that they've spoken with the authority, the same authority. And that's what Peter says when they drag him before the religious leaders and try to interrogate and intimidate them. Say, you can't be speaking in his name here. Stop that. And he said, listen, this is the guy you put to death, but he rose again. And this man is running around not because of anything we've done, but because of his authority in our lives. So what healing is it you desire to have happen? What is it you're looking for? And is it unbelief, doubt, or your current condition that caused you to be numb to the fact and the truth that God wants you, whoever you are or whoever you're believing for, he wants you to be well, because Hebrews 13 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same always, and his view of seeing you healed hasn't changed. He could heal you in your yesterdays of your sickness. He can do the same tonight if you need, and he can do for you again tomorrow if sickness attacks you. God the Father desires you to live in and walk in health, because that brings glory to him. Because you remember when he ran around the temple, he was glorifying the Lord. The glory of God is released when we embrace heaven and we embrace what God has declared us to possess. Are you in need of divine intervention? Have you arrived at a place where you're standing in need of another miracle or a personal miracle? Whatever you need, whether you need healing physically, and folks, the church has not done enough for these other areas, because healing encompasses not just physical, it also encompasses emotional and psychological. Amen? And that kind of an approach sometimes has been neglected in the fullness of the truth of God's word. He brings wholeness to mind as well as body. You remember the man that was driven by devils, and cutting himself, and doing all kinds of crazy things out there in the graveyards? And after Jesus delivered him, the scripture says of him, and he was in his right mind. There are people today stepping into churches, in our neighborhoods, and families, that for whatever reason, sometimes it's something that was done to them, some abuse or some violation in their lives, circumstances that they could not cope with, and they've dealt now with psychological and emotional breakdown. There's illness there. At times, the church has not addressed that very well. I've talked about that openly, because it's like, well, you know, if you have a mental or psychological or emotional issue, then, you know, we well, do we do that when someone says, hey, listen, they diagnosed me with cancer, or I've got a heart condition, or, you know, I've got something going on with my blood pressure that's uncontrollable, or my cholesterol, or there may be diabetes, or whatever it is that you're dealing with, or I've got some joint issues in my body. Nobody says, no, 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 no. We say, let's pray for them. Let's believe God. Same is true for emotional or psychological illness. We need to embrace the fullness of God's word to change us and our circumstances, to get us in our right minds again and transform, to take. That's why the Holy Spirit's power and presence is so important when we pray and when we worship, that we begin to speak in a language that only God could give us, in the tongues of angels, in languages we've never learned, and we begin to pray, and then all of a sudden we begin to pray perfectly in the will of God. And as we're praying perfectly in the will of God, not out of our own spirit, but out of the Spirit of God motivating our prayer, then the Holy Spirit can do something that no surgeon can do or psychologist can do, and he can bypass your conscious thinking. Because if you're going to have surgery, they're going to have to put you under anesthesia so you don't feel the pain and deal with the stuff that you don't want to see or experience. But the Holy Spirit doesn't have to do that. Because when you're praying in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit bypasses your conscious level and goes deep into the subconscious. And where there's been wounds and abuse and pain and damage, bitterness and anger and frustration. frustration. And that arrow and that dart is stuck down in your subconscious. Now, we've got all kinds of remedies and names for it. We call it post-traumatic stress today, because somebody, for no reason apparent to anybody around them, loses it. Something so minor sets them off. Boom. They explode. What in the world happened? It's that dart down there and the poison in it, in the subconscious, that's affecting us consciously. Sometimes we're not even aware of the pattern of it and how it bursts out into the conscious part of our living, out of our subconscious, and we don't know, why am I acting like that? Why did I let that happen? Because there's something in there that hasn't been dealt with that needs to be healed. Now, this is not scripted. This is the Holy Spirit inspiring me to say this to you tonight. This is a very important matter for some people in this room. That people who have suffered some wounds, I'm not just talking about physical ones, because God will heal those here tonight, but wounds in your spirit and wounds in your mind. The remedy is the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Because here's what he does. He goes down into the subconscious while we're engrossed in worship and adoration and expectation toward the Master for what he did for us and still does for us. And we don't care about anybody or anything else going on around us. We're just locked onto him. Holy Spirit, in those moments when we begin to pray in the Spirit, goes down below our conscious level into the subconscious. And he removes the dart and applies healing to the wound. That's why after you pray in the Spirit, and that's why after you've worshiped in the Spirit, and that's why after you bathe yourself in His presence, you feel like you've just had a cool shower after a 110-degree day of sweat. You're refreshed, and you can't explain it, but you feel clean, and you feel fresh, and you feel revived. Because the Holy Spirit has healed something deep inside of you that you were afraid to address. And he's speaking to you right now. And he's zeroed in on some people in this room about this matter right now. This is a powerful moment in this room. Powerful. Because the same God who raised his son Jesus from the dead, and when that lifeless body began to breathe again, and the power of the Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead, the same God who can bring power over death can heal your broken body, can heal your wounded mind, can restore your psychological damage, and bring back to you wholeness.